the honor you would have would be overwhelming. Of course, it would be absurd to expect this kind of a question to come up between a husband and a wife. But men, just close your eyes for a second. Lean back in your chair and dream of your wife asking you such a question. You can wake up now. Let me pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you have given each of us this life on this island. And for some of us, Lord, we're in a situation where we just don't want to be because of our relationships here and there and elsewhere. So Lord, this morning I pray that all of us will put our fears and our troubles upon the altar and give it to you and not to take it back. Dear Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will go before me this morning and speak your message. And Lord, I know that this message is just as much for me as it is for my brothers. So Lord, I ask in the humble name of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit will go before me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Men and women enter marriage with a storybook expectation and with few or any caring skills. A college student asked a girl what kind of a husband she would like to marry. She said, "Oh, I want him to be able to sing and dance and tell jokes and stay home at night." The student told the girl, "You don't want a husband, you want a TV. Her visions of a husband reveal one of the most common reasons why marriage fails. We marry with unrealistic expectations and few, if any, caring skills. In fact, most of us are rather fuzzy when it comes to our spouse's real needs. It takes about 4 years for a plumber to get his license. A marriage license requires just two willing hot bodies. Most of us men bounce through the education corridors without any communication skills, let alone how to build a meaningful relationship. In short, most men have no idea how to love their wives in a way that would make both of them happy. Many men are passive, thinking that it's love others are abusing and controlling. How sad we men don't know how to win our wives back, let alone how to keep from losing them. How can we win their affection, their respect, their love and cooperation when we don't even know where to begin? Instead of trying to learn what it takes to repair a cracked marriage, most of us men would rather jump on the divorce bandwagon. We violate the relationship laws inherent in all marriages, then we wonder why it all went sour. Most men ignore the biblical principles found in 1 Peter 3:7. It is the cornerstone of all relationship. Grant her honor. Honor basically means to attach a high value, importance to a person or circumstances. I would venture to say that most marital difficulties are centered onto one fact, and that is men and women are completely different. The difference emotionally, physically, mentally are so extreme that without a concentrated effort to understand them, it's nearly impossible to have a successful marriage. A psychologist said once, after 30 years of studying women, I asked myself, what is it that women really want? If that is the conclusion, men, we have our work cut out to do. Just imagine how little we know about our wives. Just when you think you got them figured out, they change just like golf. You may be already aware of some of the differences, but there will be many surprises along the way. Did you know virtually every cell in a man's body has a chromosome makeup that is completely different from that of a woman. Women tend to be more personal than men. Women have a deeper interest in people and feelings and building relationship, while men tend to be more preoccupied with practicalities that can be understood through logical deduction. Men tend to be less desirous and knowledgeable in building relationship. Nearly every man enter marriage believing that his love for his wife will never fade. Yet in the United States, for every two marriages, one fail. Why? Because we have believed in Hollywood's version of love or passion. But it doesn't take long to discover that mere passion, which revolves around lust, is not sufficient to establish a lasting relationship. In 1 Thessalonians 4:5, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. Passion works harder on the emotion than companionship. It's a type of love that keeps the heart beating over time. The Greeks call this eros, a sensual and physical form of love. But if passion exists without genuine love, usually lust gives way to disgust, repulsion, somewhat as it did with King David's son, Amon, who hated Tamar after he raped her. Unfortunately, too many couples begin their marriage thinking this type of love is all they need. On companionship, we are talking about the I like you feeling we have towards each other, the kind of love that pleasantly stimulates the senses. She smells good, she looks good, she feels good, she sounds good. She is pleasant company because she makes me happy. You love her like you love sushi and pizza. Many relationships begin with this type of love. We all notice the attractive features in others. Soon we find ourselves enjoying parts of their lives that makes us feel happy. This love is the foundation for many relationships and marriages. It doesn't always withstand the pressures of time. After 2 or 3 years, the wife changes, the husband changes, and the older we get, the more we change. We all change every year to some degree. The danger arises when we base our love on the changeable characteristics that we found attractive on the companionship level. Our feelings grow colder and colder until we finally wonder what we ever saw in our spouse in the first place. So we're off to look for someone new to love. It's easy to see why companionship love had trouble maturing or lasting through the ages of time. Genuine love is completely different. It means I see a need in you. Let me have the privilege of meeting it. Instead of taking for itself, genuine love give to others. It is self-sacrifice at its finest. It motivates us to help others to reach their full potential in life. Most importantly, a genuine love has no qualifications. It doesn't say, I'll be your friend if you'll be mine. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, love suffers long and it's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love does not puff up. Bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, endures all things. The ability to love in a selfless way depends on your level of maturity. Some of the lowest levels of immaturity, anger, envy, jealousy, controlling someone or circumstances. I believe the more we help others fulfill their full potential in life, the closer we are to maturity. What do you think is the major stumbling block for most husbands in developing a lasting love for their wives? It's failing to meet a woman's needs from her point of view. If you've never done so, find out what your wife needs to feel fulfilled as a woman. Then look for special ways to fulfill her needs. Don't despair, it takes a long time to develop a sturdy relationship. Wives, let me assure you that we as husbands generally do not know what you need. So we ask you to help us learn by telling us your needs in a gentle, loving way. Let us know when we aren't meeting your needs, not in a critical way, because it'll make us lose interest. I believe a woman needs to be in harmony, in deep oneness relationship with her husband. She needs comradeship, she needs harmony, and she needs a feeling of togetherness. To satisfy your wife, I believe you need to make a dedicated effort to meet each of her needs, such as these. This is just a small example. Your wife needs to feel she is very valuable to you, more important than your children, your mother, your friends, your job. When your wife is stressed out and hurting, she needs to know that you are willing to share an intimate moment of comfort without lectures. She needs to be praised that she is a valuable part of your life. She needs to know that she is to be protected and defended. She needs to know that her opinion is valuable in your decision making. She needs to share your life with you in every area, home, family, and outside interests. And listen to this, man. She needs you to be the kind of man her son would want to follow. She needs you to be the kind of man her daughter would want to marry. It's getting very quiet. She needs to be tenderly held often. She needs to be tenderly told, "I love you," often. Let me make this little announcement. I was telling Josh about speaking. I said, when you speak a message, you need to be convicted in it. What I'm telling you, I am convicted of it, so I can tell you from my heart. When her needs are met, a woman gains security and glows with a sense of well-being, and that glow will rub off on you. If your wife doesn't win first place, you lose. A woman's sparkling affection toward her husband is diminished when he begins to prefer other activities or people around her. Many times he is not aware of the misplaced priorities that damage her and their relationship. For a marriage to flourish, a wife desperately needs to know that her husband has a special place in his heart for her, and those deeds can only, and your husband's deeds will be the only way that can be confirmed. In fact, a husband's relationship with God should be the only priority above God. Success in marriage is based on a successful relationship in God. Many husbands are shocked when their wife leaves for no reason at all, so it seems, after 20 or 30 years of marriage. They feel they have provided everything their wife could have possibly needed. Nice homes, nice cars, enough money. Why? Because a woman needs a lot more than things. I have met creative businessmen who make large sums of money with their business skills and who keep their employees satisfied with respect and an awareness of their needs. Isn't it ironic that such intelligent men can go home at night and not know how to apply those principles to his wife? Could it be that his most important accomplishment ends at 5 p.m.? Haven't you heard of golf widows, whether it be golf or tennis or other activities? Your wife and your marital happiness will suffer if most of your time and efforts are directed towards some other interest, leaving cold leftovers for your wife. A wife can feel less important just by comparing the amount of time he spends with her to the time spent elsewhere. Feelings follow thoughts and action. In other words, the warm inner feelings that I have for Jill begin to burn after I have placed the queen's crown upon her head. In Matthew 6:21, we're told that what we treasure or value is what we'll have feelings for. Women need to see effort and not mere words and promises. Show her you are learning to scale the cliffs and hurdle the crevices. The more consistently loving we are as husbands, the more trustworthy we become to our wives. Soon they will join us and climb hand over hand toward the goal of a loving marriage. How fight starts. When our lawnmower broke and wouldn't run, my wife kept hinting to me that I should get it fixed. But somehow, I always had something else to take care of first. The car, playing golf, always something more important to me. Finally, she thought of a clever way to make her point. When I arrived home one day, I found her seated in the tall grass, busily snipping away with a tiny pair of scissors. I watched silently for a short time and then went into the house. I was gone only a minute, and when I came out again, I handed her a toothbrush. I said, "When you finish cutting the grass, you might as well sweep the driveway." The doctor said, "I will walk again, but I will always have a limp." This morning I have running shoes on because my left leg is a little limpy. I'm serious. But I don't have time to get into it because I need to move on to the message. The most important way I've ever expressed my love for Jill was when I attached a high value to her. When I decided that next to my relationship with God and His Word, she was most important to me than anything on this earth. And she knows it. Wives need proof of change over a period of time in several areas before they will believe their husband's commitment. Careful listening without justification or argument. Can you imagine a husband being able to justify everything he has ever done to hurt his wife? It is difficult for a man to converse with his wife without challenging the meaning of various words she uses to express how she feels inside. If a husband can overlook the actual words she uses without convicting her and instead actively pursue what she actually means, there would be fewer arguments. One of the issues that weakens the family is the unwillingness of the husband in admitting errors. Men's thinking is to admit error is to reveal weakness. The opposite is true. When a husband admits that he has hurt his wife, she feels great knowing he understands. His admission of wrong can produce a much stronger marriage. Not only that, it demonstrates that he is a wise man because the scripture tells us only the wise seek correction. In Proverbs 13:18, he who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. What if you've been doing everything to let your wife know that she is first place in your life and she still doesn't believe you? Do you throw your hands up in disgust? Or do you gently persuade her over a period of time? Patience, my son. Her initial respect for you wasn't lost overnight, and it certainly is not going to happen in a day or two or 20. Show her that no matter how long it takes, you are willing to earn her respect. In 1 Corinthians 13, 7 through 8, it always protects, always trust, always persevere. Love always, or love never fails. There are basically two reasons why a wife can become less important to her husband. A man will pursue and charm a woman with cards and flowers and everything under the sun. He will take a bath, brush his teeth, comb his hair, wash his car. He will scale the mountains, anything to win over his wife, to be. But after the wedding, he feels he has conquered her. She is his, so he doesn't have to have the same enthusiasm or creativity that he once had. She is his emotionally and legally. The husband may say to himself, I have my wife, I need to conquer my job or my business now. Each frontier is viewed as a new conquest or new experience. Almost anything is sweet to a starving man, but when he is full, even honey nauseates him, Proverbs 27:7. In a very real sense, a man is filled up when he marries because his wife is part of him now. He believes he has experienced knowing her spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. He may feel there is nothing left for him to know. He's satisfied and therefore has a tendency to look for other potential frontiers. Putting your wife in the number one slot below God doesn't shackle you to the home. Instead, it frees you of the dread of going home. Remember, when a wife feels she is the most important, she is excited that her husband is able to do whatever he wants to do. But don't try to deceive her, man, by telling her she is number one. Because when she finds out that you have manipulated her, you are dead meat, and it will be worse than the day Pearl Harbor was attacked. If you feel your marriage is able to withstand this test without arguments, it would improve matters. Here are a few questions you can ask your wife to open up a discussion concerning her real feelings about the place she shares in your life. One, do you feel you are the most important person in my life? Two, are there any activities in my life you feel are more important to me than you? Three, are there any special ways you believe I would better communicate how important you are to me? That's a real hot button issue. We'll continue moving here. Where have we gone wrong? That is the question most couples want to know when their marriage is in crisis mode. Why aren't we romantic anymore? Why do we argue anymore? Why do we avoid touching each other? Instead of maintaining a car, we wait till it dies, then we give it the attention. Marriage is much like that. These problems are not primarily related to incompatibility or financial issues or other issues. They are a direct result of accumulated offenses. If a husband and wife can understand how to maintain harmony by immediately working to clear up every hurtful offense between them, they can climb out of such common problems, even marriage's deepest pit, divorce. When a man treats his wife carelessly, she is usually offended much, much deeper than a man will ever realize. She begins to close him out, and if he continues to hurt her, she shuts him out. She separates herself mentally, physically, and emotionally from him. In other words, she doesn't want any connection with him. Haven't you noticed your wife when you insulted her? She avoids conversation, avoids being touched. Some people justify their reactions by saying, he or she hurt me. There is no such thing as hurt feelings, according to psychologist Dr. Henry Brent. He says, let's call hurt feelings what they really are, anger. Our goal as husbands should be to adjust our behavior so our wives won't have to react to anger. When a real harmony and oneness exists between you and your wife, the two of you would want to relax and spend time talking. Your wife will be more agreeable. she'll be emotionally and physically attracted to you. But when you have offended her, she will resist you and argue with you. Wives are often accused of being strong-willed and rebellious, when in reality, they're simply reacting to their husband's thoughtless abuses. They are sometimes accused of wrecking marriages because of their lack of affection or lack of romantic love for their husbands. Of course, husbands seldom realize that their insensitive behavior is what ushered the affection out the door. When a woman is mistreated, she feels like a prostitute having physical relations with her husband. A woman must first know she is valued as a person and be in harmony with her husband. Grant her honor. To change the course of a broken marriage, you need to admit to yourself specifically what you have done to hurt the relationship, and not wanting to admit heads to destruction. The greater your understanding of her suffering, the easier it can be for you to understand what you have done wrong and to take the hardest step expressing your sincere sorrow for your offensive behavior. I can hear some men now, "Oh, you don't know my wife, you don't know how she treats me." I would simply ask this question: was she this way when you married her? And if she was, you deserve her. But I know that your wife became more like you after living like you with you. Seek her forgiveness for your offensive behavior. A woman needs a man who understands the depth of her grief after his offensive behavior. A woman loves to hear a man say, "Will you forgive me?" And when she verbalizes yes, she is free to restore her side of the relationship. However, if her husband simply says, "Oh, I'm sorry," it's not always enough. "Will you forgive me?" proves that he values her side of the relationship. A flippant "I'm sorry" means "I'm sorry for getting caught." Genuine humbleness and love says, "Will you forgive me? Because forgiveness is the sister to I love you dearly." Let her see your consistent and sincere efforts to correct an offensive behavior. This is another way of saying repent. For the Greeks, repent literally means to turn around. It means that you are to change your way of thinking and acting of Christ-likeness. So watch yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Luke 17:3. When you marry a woman, you inherit the way she was treated by her father, mother, brothers, and relatives. Here again, she is the sum total of her environment, her associations, and her life as a single person. Here again, let's keep in mind that God has called a man to be a leader, the nurturer of the wife and children. If he leads in a harsh, offensive, angry behavior, he will reap the result in a weakened or fractured marriage. The main problem that we men have to overcome is our lack of knowledge and skills to nurture our wives to the level on which we can enjoy a growing and intimate, loving relationship. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, "And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of this, love." The biggest change our marriage needs, men, is for us men to shut up. Ephesians 4:29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." A study has shown that women admire and honor a husband who admits when he is wrong. I believe a man needs to humble himself before his wife daily to become interested in his wife's ideas on how he can improve. Proverbs 9:9, give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Many husbands refuse to listen to their wives because of hang-ups or choice of words or attitudes. Macho independence is man's unwillingness to admit our dependency on our wives. Most men don't understand the difference between being dependent on a wife as a strength versus being dependent on a wife as a weakness. Dependency on a strength is when you share your vulnerable side with her so she can contribute to your life. Dependency as a weakness is when you share your vulnerable side with her in hope she will come to your rescue. Most men don't appreciate how important their attachment to their wives are until they fall to illness, dies, or leaves. I may have told this story before, but it brings a very powerful point and humble point home, so I will repeat it. A couple was out for a drive in the country when they pulled into a gas station. As the husband went to pay, the wife carried on a conversation with the gas attendant. When they left, the husband told the wife, "Aren't you glad you married me and not that grease monkey?" The husband looked at the husband and said, "If I had married that gentleman, he would be sitting here and you would be standing back there." We as husbands need to be aware of the amount of stress our wives face daily. To aid your wife with stress, you need to be aware of the situation that gives her anxiety. Discover where your wife needs protection. Discover areas in which your wife is most vulnerable. Discover what problem your wife wants to solve. Another way to cherish your wife is to help her become fulfilled as a person. You can do this by discovering your wife's personal goals in life. We all love to know when someone is pulling for us. Jesus left us an example by sharing his life with the disciples. They traveled, ate, slept, and ministered together. He guided, guarded, prayed, and kept them. His example of togetherness and oneness is a constant reminder for all of us. Studies have shown that children are much more likely to copy their parents' action rather than their words. Adults are much the same way. A wife is subconsciously much more willing to emulate her husband's attitude when they have a good relationship. Unfortunately, the converse is true also. The more a husband demands that his wife change when he is not a good example, the less likely she is to improve herself. A friend of mine desperately tried to change his wife. Actually, he wanted her to lose some weight desperately. He told her, "If you lose some weight, I will buy you a brand new Mercedes 500 SL. Those things cost over $100,000. When a person is criticized, a person can lose energy and desire to try because the person who is doing the criticizing has a hateful attitude. As husbands, a husband's tender, sensitive, and understanding attitude creates far more desire within a wife than anything he can do. No, she did not do it, but he bought her the car anyway. Another way to increase your wife's desire to improve your marriage is to share how you feel instead of demanding. In other words, learn to express yourself through loving attitudes, warmth, sincerity, and empathy. Learn to communicate with love, always thinking the best for your spouse. Loving attitude dramatically increases a woman's desire to communicate. Warmth is a friendly acceptance of a person, the feeling that a person is important enough for your time and effort. Empathy is the ability to understand and identify your wife's feelings. Can you put yourself in her shoes and see the situation from her vantage point? Sincerity is showing a genuine concern for your wife at home and on the outside. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is peace, love and joy, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, or patience. Psalm 51:10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. As I close this message, I just want to share something with you that's not on my message, that was put on my heart. In recent months, a gentleman passed away, and there was articles and articles written about this man. He was a hero in our community. But I don't think he was a hero to his wife. She's living today in destitute. Men, I want to encourage you, whether you're 20 or 90, that your finances be in order. If you want to borrow up to the hill, make sure you have enough assets to cover your credit. Because if anything happens to you, your wife will be in deep straits. Make sure you have enough assets to cover your liabilities. Live debt-free if you can. But if you have enough assets, that's fine. If you can't do that, then you ought to get life insurance to cover all your debts. Make sure your wife has 1 to 2 years of salary as you would have brought in. Make sure there's enough money for your children's college. Your wife will have enough stress without you. So I encourage all of you, follow what the Bible says. Thank you.